We've been studying the life of David, and we come to an opportunity to transition to Abiding Christmas next week, and we'll gather around the Lord's table celebrating communion. I can't imagine a better way than launching into our Advent and our season of just Christmas and looking forward, because abiding in Christmas is really about abiding in Jesus. Christmas and Jesus is the same name. And we approach it, obviously, that way. But as I think about coming to that conclusion, and we're going to transition from one series to another, and we look at David, and obviously there's a lot more going on in the life of David, and we could spend years studying, but I thought we would come to just that end where we hear the last words of David that he speaks. You know, last words are very powerful. Have you ever been in the presence of someone who spoke their last words? I have. I've been there a number of times, and probably in almost every case, that's such a powerful moment, you remember that. I remember at least over a dozen different individuals as I start thinking about it. Some, my own family, my grandma, her last words, and they were spoken before she fell into a coma and then passed away 3-4 days later. The last words of a number of people in the hospital that I was ministering to, and they spoke their last words. I looked up some last words. What if you were going to give a statement, and this would be the last time anyone would ever hear from you, what would you say? Well, it's pretty challenging to think, this is it. No one else will ever hear anything else from you again. What would you leave the world behind with? What would be those final words? I looked up some things, and it was just interesting looking at last words. Some musicians here, Kurt Cobain, I don't have the passion anymore, and so remember, it's better to burn out than to fade away. I mean, that just sounds pathetic, doesn't it? I mean, that's the last words apparently he spoke. Barry White was, just before he died, his nurse came in, and his last words were, "Leave me alone." I mean, and she knew he was about ready to pass away. He just pushed everyone away. Whitney Houston, these were her last words before she took her life. "You know, he's so cool, I really want to see Jesus." A lot of the movies we see bear Louis Mayer's, when he died, all the movies and stuff and all the money he had, his last words, "Nothing matters." That's sad, isn't it? Yeah, Winston Churchill, who I admire as just a leader in some of his writings, but his last words, "I'm bored with it all." Interesting. P.T. Barnum, who obviously very wealthy, circus, things like that, right? How were the receipts today at Madison Square Garden? So his last thought was about money, right? That seems about right. Of course, Mother Teresa, you could imagine, "Jesus, I love you." Judas's last word recorded in the Bible, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." There was other last words in the Bible too. There's actually lots of final statements in the Word of God. I brought a few of them up here. Stephen, who was the first martyr of the church, last words before he died, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." I mean, to the end, thinking of someone else. I mean, thinking of the others around him. The preacher, which is the writer of Ecclesiastes, I love his last words in chapter 12, and you can look it up, the final kind of last few verses. He said, "Here now is my final conclusion." He's written all these amazing things about it's a time to live, a time to die. I mean, Ecclesiastes is one that a lot of us sort of have a familiarity with. He says, "Okay, I've written like 12 chapters worth of material. Let me sum it up. One sentence: fear God, obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty." It's interesting that of all the things that could have been said, what would you imagine someone writing like this, what would they say as the conclusion? I mean, what would you have written? I thought about that. But he says, fear God, reverence God, respect God, and obey his commands, his word. Paul writing to Timothy, Last time. Okay, Timothy, we are not going to talk again. This is it. What do you say to someone you've mentored and you've raised up and we're all done? I'm not leaving, Timothy. You're on your own. We will not ever talk again till heaven. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season to preach the word. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Teach the word. Interesting. Of all things he could have said to his young student, he brings Timothy to the word of God. Last words of Paul to the church. He spent a lot of years just helping the church be established, the Corinthian church. There's a lot of, we're going to look at that church in the future here. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity." You know what he's referring there? Read the word. "Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. And then the God of love and peace will be with you." And when you understand Paul, you realize he's pointing them one way, to the Word of God. What about David? David's last words. There's actually three different passages that you can bring together. I'm just going to bring up two of the last words of David. First Chronicles, he's talking to Solomon. Final words to his son, who is now taking over at this point the throne and going to be established as the king of Israel. "Solomon, my son, here it is. Learn to know." Let me tell you, learn to yada, because it parallels right here the God of your ancestors intimately. The word intimately and know are parallel words. He's saying not just know for information. You see, what we're going to learn is the Word of God is and can be informational, but it's more important to be relational. What is being said here is, son, be relational with the Word, not just informational, right? "Worship and serve Him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart, knows every plan and thought." We know David knows that. We learned that together. There's some good news in that. There's some bad news in that. And he says, "If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." Very strong statement. So take this seriously. This is it. David is not going to say anything else. He's not going to get a chance to talk to his son again. And he's saying, listen, this is really, really important. I want you to understand what I'm about to share with you is really, really important. You and I need to take this seriously. Not just another message, not just something that, gee, I hope this will be somewhat interesting, but to realize that what David is sharing, what you and I are about to address, is so important because the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Now, in David's life, it had been his passion and dream to build the temple of Israel, but God said, "You're not going to do it." So he knows his son was going to do it. But you know what? God says, "You're building a temple. You are a temple in which you house the Holy Spirit. And we're giving instruction on how that temple is to be built. We're being given clear instruction that we should take very seriously because God sees every heart, knows every plan, He knows every thought. And what we see here is critical." Now, David has a little bit more to say in 1 Kings, and you probably want to turn there because that's where we're going to be launching from, is 1 Kings chapter 2. As the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. "I'm going to die. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. son, we're all going to die. Take courage. I love it. Be a man. It's not just be a man like, and we'll see in a moment, like we might frame that in terms of physical strength, or he's going to define success for us. He's talking about be a man of God. Be a woman of God. It's the same. I mean, we're talking about, although he's talking to his son, he's talking to all of us. He's really saying, Solomon, grow up. Because you're about to take charge of something. How often does the Word of God speak to us in a very powerful way, in a loving way? Time to grow up. And this could be a word to some of us who are in our 70s, or 60s, or 20s. It's not about growing up chronologically. It's about growing up spiritually. Some of us have yet to grow up. Solomon is given clear instruction. And so he's, of all the things he could have said, of all the things, observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. Wow. So here it is, son. I really want to see you win. I want to see you successful. I want to see you have what I didn't have. I want you to have better than me. What parent doesn't want their children to have better? And he says, here's how you're going to have it. Live in the Word. Because that's what he's saying here. Live in the Word. With all these things, he's just describing in seven different ways the Word of God. Because decrees, commands, regulations, laws, statutes, requirements are all the Word of God, Scripture. And he says, look it, you'll be successful in all you do and wherever you go. He could have said, hey, son, learn all you can. Get as much experience as you can. Really train well. Practice your craft. Go to seminars. Get lots of training. Make sure you attend, you know, leadership events every year. He says, no, get in the Word and be a man of the Word. Because this is what's going to bring success in your life. And he says, if you do this, then the Lord will keep his promise he made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. Now, let me tell you, that is a conditional statement, but also has a second unconditional promise. What this is saying, if you do this, then this will happen. But also it says elsewhere, and here's the unconditional piece. I want you to understand, we don't have time to go into a lot of detail, but he also promised that from the lineage of David would be someone who would be on the throne forever, and that is Jesus. And that was an unconditional promise. Nothing would ever interrupt that. Can you say amen to that? I want you and I to focus on these words to a son because David's kind of summing it up. All right, abide. What he's really saying here is, here it is, abide. Abide in the Lord, son. Abide in the Lord. Become a person of success. And how do we define success? By your obedience to the Word of God. See, the world is really messing with our head and trying to define success in some pretty interesting ways. What makes for a successful person? Physical strength? I know people who spend way too much time in the gym. What defines success? Sexual activity? The ability to have lots of partners? Some people define their success that way. What defines our success? Is it about our professional success? Climbing the ladder? Getting to the next level? Is it about the size of your bank account? Is it about your financial independence? If some of us are honest, we'd be answering yes to some of these things. I know that for some of you, you don't feel good about yourself unless everything's okay financially, unless everything's okay relationally. And you define the success of your marriage by how often you're intimate with your spouse. You define the success of your relationship around you in ways that are not according to the Word of God. And what we're learning here is, how can I measure, how can I define success in my life? And we're taught through the Word of God, here's what brings you success: obedience to the Word of God, keeping God's Word, and walking in God's ways. And David is saying, this is how you will be successful. And I know for a fact that we struggle in this. We're having a hard time reading the Word. We're having a hard time spending time in the Word of God every day. God is calling us to understand genuine success and what that means. And it's being defined here for us and how we can go about this. But there's something that we're learning. It doesn't happen magically. It doesn't happen just because you show up and spend an hour and a half at church. It happens because you read the Word of God and you place this in its highest priority. David's declaring, and we're going to see in a moment, he writes over and over again how very important the Word of God is. It's amazing to me how many conversations I will have. People will come and say, I need some help. And I enjoy helping people. I got the best job on the planet. I get to help people. And one of the things I find myself saying over and over again, read the Word. Not just through this crisis, but every day. I talk to people every week. And I know I'm being repetitive, but I just had this conversation again with a man of God who loves the Lord, who's pastoring a church. And you've heard me share the story. But it seems almost every month I'm having that kind of conversation. And I'm trying to make this point. I want to drive this into your heart. I asked him, because he's going through some stuff. I said, well, when's the last time you spent the day with Jesus? Now, I want to frame it this way. Who's the most important person in your life? The answer should be Jesus. When's the last time you spent the day with the most important person in your life? See, I would imagine you've spent the day with your mate. You spent the day with your children. You probably spent a day at work with someone sitting next to you in the cubicle, and they're not nearly as exciting as Jesus. Can you say amen to that? They're good people. You spent the day at shop. You spent the day crawling through small compartments, working with someone side by side with them. But when's the last time you spent the day with the most important person of your life? And when I say a day, an actual day. You got up in the morning and you hung out with him all day. Oh, but you understand, I spend the day with the Lord all the time. And I hear this. I spent the day because he's with me all the time. We pause throughout the day and I'm connected with him. That is an excuse to do an end run around what you really need to do. That is the 21st century rationalization to not spend time with Jesus. Listen to me. Your life can change. You can be transformed. Things really can get better. But it will not happen by reading a how-to book. It will not happen by going to a conference. It will not happen by attending a workshop. I lead workshops. I do training. I have attended them my entire Christian life. And let me tell you what's changed my life: Jesus. Amen. But you got to spend time with him. See, Jesus doesn't change your life just because you go to him once and that's it, boom, it happens. He changes your life because you actually hang out with him. Most of the change that I've had is because God and I have hung out over a season of time. I would love to tell you there's a shortcut around this. I'd love to share with you, hey, we got an hour, and you know what? It's going to be awesome. By the time we're done with those 60 minutes, you're going to be a new person. Now, that could happen. But for my life, I need about 60 days. And that hammering away day after day, I'm serious, actually spending time with God changes me. Because God works day in and day out. So here's the deal, every day. Once a week is not enough. Twice a week is not enough. Every day, I mean, we joke about it. Who would go without eating for a day? I mean, unless we were fasting or something. I mean, that, of course we would eat. We would have something, right? I mean, most of us would make sure that we get some food into our system. And I know you. I know you would do that. That's important to you. I mean, I know what it's like to go without, I mean, you forget to eat. Ever done that? You forget to eat? And all of a sudden someone says to you, like your wife, looks like you haven't eaten today. Well, what do you mean I haven't eaten today? Right? And it's like, yeah, you're right. I can tell. Oh, great. I can tell when you haven't read the word. It's no different. You know why? Because you're spiritually grumpy. Your spiritual blood sugar is low. And you need the word of God. Look at David points his son, of all the things he could have said, Solomon, be a great dad. It's so important to be this amazing husband and father. Man, make sure that you don't make my mistakes, son. Make sure you stay faithful to one woman. He could go on about all the things that he did. Make sure you don't let the anger get you. Make sure you don't be overcome by guilt. But when he declares to his son, of all the things he could have said, he nails it down to the heart of what he learned in his life, given all the mistakes he made. Get in the Word and be a man of the Word. I mean, David's the guy who wrote Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. In other words, the Word, the Word, the Word. Now, before you think I'm just talking about reading this paper, realize Jesus and the Word are one and the same. The foundation we laid is Jesus, who is the Word. At the end of your handout, there's 42 scriptures that I've given you to take home that you can look at in the comparison of this and Jesus as the Word. I did some work for you. You see, we believe at Abundant Life Foursquare Church that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that what's contained in these pages is God's Word to us. And it's inerrant, infallible. In other words, there's no mistakes, and it is given to us by God. We don't doubt for a second that God gave this to us. And it's the measure of our faith, it's the practice of our faith, and the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit are the most valued resource in our lives. Now, why do I say that? Well, because Scriptures tell us that. 1 Corinthians 3, because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now, others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have. What does that say? Say it with me. Jesus Christ. Okay, all together. 1, 2, 3.
Jesus Christ.
The Word. The Word. David understood he needed to get a healthy perspective. And you think about all that we've looked at. David struggled with a lot of things, but you know what he struggled with most? Pride, shame, and rebellion. Let me talk about pride for a second, because God addressed his pride. David got so into himself, right? He deceived himself, and self-deception and pride blind you to sin. Why is it that some of us don't see the sin in our life? Why is it that we don't recognize what we're doing? You're deceived. Pride is getting in the way. That's why God said to David, "Why then have you despised what? The word of God." In other words, it comes right back at him. Nathan's talking as directed by God and saying, "David, let me tell you why you are where you are. You despise the word." See, David stopped reading the word. David stopped living in the word. And that's why David got in a bad place. I have just not met a lot of people who get into bad places while reading the word of God. I don't see a lot of people. Now, there's a few really unhealthy people. I know there's some, there's other things going on. But generally speaking, 95% of the time, I don't hear about someone reading the word of God and then go robbing a bank. I don't hear people reading Ephesians chapter 5 about relationships and the importance of faithfulness and then go have sex with somebody else who they're not married to. See, the word of God changes your life. But it requires consistent, yes, daily, yes, reading the word. Really, take this seriously. Once a week is not enough. Every other day is not enough. Once a month is not enough. Four times a year, which is the average. The average American only reads the word four times a year. Now, I know we're better than the average. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But pride can be very deceptive. And shame. David was victimized by shame. That's what really nailed him down. And he says, look, you need to live your life in complete honesty. And he says, finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt, my shame. And he realized, because here's what the Word of God says to us. You and I need to be completely open with God. I don't know anyone else how to do this. Either you're open with God or you're not. And this isn't like partial open. This is 100% open. And when you are, there's something about being holy. Look, I know what it's like to hold back from God. I've done it. And I've tried to live life not fully revealing and having, it's like God doesn't know, right? He knows what's going on. He needs me to say it. Can you say amen to that? And finally, there's something happens. It's amazing when finally you say, okay, God, I was holding back a piece here. And I can just see God, oh, really? Well, please tell me I must have missed that. And then I say it, and God delivers me. God heals me. We think we're... Is it crazy to think we're actually fooling God? Well, God, I didn't have that thought. I didn't think that, Lord. I didn't fantasize that. Lord, I didn't say that. It's amazing how we try to do an end run, and then it becomes this weight. Remember, we talked about this weight that will drown you and suffocate you. And then we live in rebellion. That, you know, when you think about David, he lived in a lot of rebellion. That's why he says in Psalm, finally, God, I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone, I have sinned. Now, remember we talked about creating me a clean heart. Where did he get that idea? Was that like, wow, let me pull this out of the sky here and now come? No, that's out of the Word of God. That's exactly, he was now reflecting back to Deuteronomy and Leviticus that talks about the same thing of creating a clean heart. He just finally connected the dots because he He started reading the Word of God again. See, we want to think that God's going to just somehow put it in you and you don't have to work for it. We are lazy. I have heard every excuse on the planet. I have given almost every excuse to God on the planet. I'm too busy. I don't have time. I don't feel good. I'm tired. This and that. And all I hear from God is, you know, nothing. Right? Until finally we're like David. All right, God, I get it. I'm rebellious. Oh, there you go. Now help me, God. See, there's something about coming clean with God. Listen, the Word of God will save you. Salvation is the word in the Greek for to be rescued. Look what it says. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. They have been given you, they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. You can be saved for eternity through Jesus Christ. And we learn that by way of the Word of God. Wow. The Word of God has the power to guide you. In Psalms 119, 19, I am but a foreigner here on earth. I need the guidance of your, that's the word, commands, word, same thing, the Bible, the Scriptures. Don't hide them from me. You know, God is the GPS system we all need. He'll get you where you need to go. The Word of God has the power to change you, transform you. I love Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you know what? That's why we don't want to get in the Word. I'll tell you why you and I resist the Word is because it's a discerner of what's going on inside of us. And we don't want to have that discernment. So somehow, it's kind of like, if I don't read it, I'm okay. Right? It's like the monsters under your bed. If I hide under the blanket, the monsters can't get me. Isn't that what every kid believes? So if I don't get into this, then I'm somehow going to avoid what I really need. And that's God getting to the heart. Listen to me. Don't be afraid of that. That's not a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing. Because this is what changes you on the inside. When I think of all the hours I spend helping people, the way I see people really change is when they turn their situation over in the hands of God. See, the Word really does straighten you out. You want to know how to love someone? Read the Word. You want to know how to give, how to forgive, how to treat others, how to be married, how to raise your children, how to walk in the Lord, how to know what's right from wrong? The Word of God will tell you that. And our job is to study that. It is the equipment that God has given us so we can live life over and over again. The Word of God repeats itself. Be a student of the Word. Spend time in the Word. It tells us the whole Bible. Let me tell you about the whole Bible. The whole Bible. Genesis to Revelation. The first and the last book. The whole Bible. I know people, I just had this conversation with someone. And I said, turn to the Old Testament. And he said to me, man, I've never read the Old Testament. I know churches that will not preach out of the Old Testament. I've talked to pastors who will tell you only the New Testament. That is tragic. But when Timothy says the whole Bible, everything was given to us by inspiration, we didn't make this stuff up. God gave it. It says from God and is useful. It is what makes the difference to teach us what is true, what is right, what is correct, and it makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. It is God's way of making us well-prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. See, God has a mission that he wants you and I to do good to people, not harm them. I know very few of you in here that would intentionally go out to want to hurt someone. And yet we do, don't we? Every one of us, we do stuff and we go, why did I do that? And I'll tell you, part of the reason is we're not reading the Word here. The Word of God will equip you. I realize we are not going to do it perfectly. But that's why the Word of God talks about forgiveness. That's why the Word of God talks about reconciliation. Because God understood we're going to need the mechanisms and the system by which we're going to have to make up for the stuff that we don't do so good. But praise God, there's a way around that. We can do that. There is a way to heal the things that are broken. The Word of God really, really works. You know, I've lived in the Word of God my entire life. I still remember at age 5 going to Hebrew school on Saturday mornings. I grew up reading the scriptures and the prayers because when you grow up kind of like a Catholic home, if you've been raised Catholic, there's readings every day. And there's something to read of scripture every day. It's kind of like, and you do it year in and year out. It's almost like it's Hanukkah again. I've been through a lot of Hanukkahs. I got it down. But it's good that you repeat these things because it's like, is there a better way to do it? No, God gave us some amazing opportunities to get into the Word. And it needs to be repeated over and over again. And then I was bar mitzvah. And my dad came and said, so, what do you want to do? You've done all this. By the way, being bar mitzvah is really profitable. You know what a bar mitzvah is? That's when you read scripture and they declare you as a man and then they throw a party for you. And all your relatives have to buy you expensive gifts. It's required. And my dad says, so, you want to continue with yeshiva school, which is post-training. So here's what my dad was saying to me. Do you want to go to school till 3 o'clock and then go to school again till 6 o'clock? No. It's probably one of the few times in my life that from that until I received Jesus, I was not reading the Word. I'm going to tell you something. I paid a price for that. I look at the stuff I did as a young guy. Senior in high school, first year in college, I directly connect that to not being the Word of God. And then I received Jesus. My life changed. And I got to tell you, honestly, most of the days of my life, not every day, but most of the days, I read this. I read Scripture. Do I miss days? Absolutely. Just like you, but not a lot of days. This has been, since I've been 19, one of the most important things of my life. I love this Word. I read it. It's changed my life because Jesus changes your life. And then you stay with it. That's what David is saying to his son, Solomon. You need this, not just when you're in a crisis, not just when you're dialing 911, not just when the things are falling apart in your marriage, not when your boyfriend or girlfriend leaves you, not when all of a sudden the finances drop out. You need to do this every day, consistently read this Word and become a man who understands the Word of God because it really does work. I can tell you that since I've been reading this Word, it really has helped keep my life straight. There's been lots of opportunity to go right or left. And every now and then I look down the road to the right or the left. I keep coming back. All right, God. Because you read the Word. I see other people do the same thing. It is so absolutely, we sang the song, amazing of what God does. It really does have something to change your life. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but here's what I learned. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And guess what? He'll make your paths straight. It's simple. The best way to live life is according to this book called the Word of God. I have nothing else to offer you. I have Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Word of God. And you know what? It's absolutely amazing. Look what David says. Son, that you may prosper in all you do, wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me. And like it says, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul. How are they going to possibly do that? By being in the Word and the Scriptures. And here's what we know. Both David and his son, when they were faithful to God, they experienced success. I mean, David and Solomon both, man, their flocks flourished. They defeated their enemies. David was writing music and poetry. I mean, his family was growing. His lineage was being established. I mean, so much good was happening. And the same thing would happen to Solomon. But when they stopped reading the Word, can I tell you something? I am scared to death to not read the Word. Because I feel so responsible to what God's doing in this place that somehow I look at all this and I realize if I don't read the Word, something could go the wrong direction. If I don't listen to the Word of God in my life, the Holy Spirit, something could go right or left. And I don't want that to happen to us. And I want you to know, there's no seminar or workshop that I can go to figure this out. My denomination doesn't tell me what to do. I am so connected and realize to not be connected, it really does scare me. It's, remember, we talked about constraints. I can't do this without this. Every time I come up here and I think about sharing with you as I prepare, there's a part of me that goes, God, wow, I am so glad I've got this because I couldn't do this on my own. There's no way I could figure this out. I mean, to come up week after week, where do you get this stuff? I am so unbelievably thankful God said, here you go. Steve, lead your people. You know, I've given you this church. Now go for it. Follow me and see what happens. How cool is that? It's not me. And so you begin to see what the Lord does. But look what happens when they don't. David suffered loss and pain and grief and death. His family blew up. His friends blew up. Civil war came, kingdom was attacked, kingdom was wiped out, on it goes. And guess what? Solomon was the richest man of all history. Listen, Solomon makes Bill Gates look average. Solomon makes the Rockefellers look common. When it comes to wealth and stuff, Solomon had more than any other human being on the planet. Past, present, and at this point, foreseeable future. But when he stopped and moved away from the Word, he lost it all. And he ended up, I can just see, I mean, David was so hopeful his son would not make his mistakes. But he did. Solomon did the same thing his dad did. Disconnected from God. Disconnected from the Word. Got into idolatry. Got into all kinds of crazy things. And suffered the consequences. Now listen to me. That is not a self-defeating, self-fulfilling prophecy. You do not have to make the same mistakes your parents made. You do not have to fail. You do not have to end up in a bad place. Well, what are we going to do? Let me tell you something. Listen to me. It's not genetic. It's not in your DNA to fail. The way that you're going to mess up is by not being in the Word, staying close to Jesus, living life. If there was my last words to you, if this was the last message you ever heard from me, then take it home. Stay in the Word. Stay close to the Word and have a relationship with the Word of God. And you'll be successful. Not as the world defines success, but as God defines it. And life will be a whole lot better. You know, Jesus spoke to us. Let me read Psalm 1 first. Go back up for a second. I want you to see something. Psalm 1, would you? I want to make this one last point. This is the first psalm David wrote. Okay, given all the stuff, right? Look at I want you to see what he writes here. First psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. First song out of the gate. Word of God. And his law, he meditates occasionally. Once a week. Is that unrealistic, day and night? I don't think so, but we act like it is. And he says, listen, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of... So this is poetry, guys. He's saying, if you meditate, it's like being along the water and the roots grow and drink in the fresh water. That's the Word. And as you drink it in, it says, look it, you'll bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. Be fruitful. Because you're a person of the Word. I don't know else how to do this. I have no tricks up my sleeve. I've done this a long time. I keep coming back to the same thing. Join me. Become a man and a woman of the Word. This is the only way to go. And your life, look at Jesus declared his own last words. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. As surely I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Lows are quotes from the Word of God. Jesus is fulfilling the Word, the prophecy spoken of him. His last words, I commit my spirit into your hands. Will you commit your life into the hands of God? Will you commit everything of your life and then do what you're supposed to do? Read the Word. Know the Word. Have a relationship with the Word. I am one of the most unreligious people you probably be surprised to meet. I am not here to establish religion in your life. I'm here to help you establish a real relationship with Jesus. I discovered that. I needed that, and so do you. It's the only way to go. And some of you need to awaken to this. You've gotten away from it. Get back. Let's pray. As the piano plays here, I'm going to give you a minute. You just need to listen to the Spirit of God right now. What is God speaking to you about what's just been said? Go ahead. Take a one-on-one moment with the Lord. I pray that some of us will just really get it and listen to what the Spirit of God is speaking. I pray, Lord, that it would hit us in such a powerful way. We really need to be in the Word. We really do need you. And we need to take in. Lord, I pray that You would break open the time. You would free us in our schedules. It would rise up the priority. And we would be a people of the Word. Your Word. With your heads bowed, I invite you to commit your time, your schedule to the Lord right now. And some of you, ask God to forgive you because it's sin. You've ignored the Word. You've not spent the time. And ask God to heal you. Just like David, he declared, "Heal me, God." I pray that there'll be a rise in the hunger for your Word. I pray, Lord God, there will be something that would rise up in this people that would desire your Word more than anything else. Let it become a seed planted by living water. Holy God, we are amazed. Oh, holy God, we give you our praise.